That's a space of setting aside self and in wanting to be a very pretty high level practitioner of self-reflection, which is the key to development, right? I mean, being a really self-reflective person, it is the way to change your linear growth and progress to exponential growth and progress. So I just embrace that. I think, you know, having that curiosity and being courageous enough to bring it forward.
Hi, everyone. Welcome to the Create Magic at Work podcast. This is part two of season five, where I have a really deep and meaningful conversation with Aaron Tobacco. He has generously offered his time to come back and share with all of us his perspectives on feedback. Part two of this episode, we really dive into feedback in regards to what it looks like surrounding our Gen Z colleagues and how we can approach that from a high-level leadership perspective. So please tune in. It is 2 years that the Create Magic at Work podcast has been running, and I want to thank everyone for tuning in and listening. We're top 5% globally. We have an international community. Everyone that tunes in and listens to an episode is saying yes to healthy leaders, yes to healthy workplaces, and yes, I want to hear perspectives and learn more on how we can get there. And I think this episode, part two of feedback and talking about it with the perspective of including our Gen Z colleagues, is really going to send some magic to everyone. So here you go. Hey everyone, it's Amy Lynn Durham, and you're listening to Create Magic at Work. Create Magic at Work is on a mission to equip senior leaders with tools they need to be a true quantum leader and actually understand what that means. Improve employee engagement, retain top talent, and transform your workplace culture to have less drama and stress. So let's start making magic.
Thinking about, you know, a very common place that you receive feedback as a nurse is in handoffs in the hospital between from one shift to another. And so I noticed very, very early on as a young nurse that in acute care, I would go in, you'd meet outside the patient room, the off-going shift nurse would give you a rundown of the evening, the care, the needs, et cetera. You may or may not have ever worked with the patient before, so who knows? But it was very, very interesting to me how I would watch nurses and other students, et cetera, receive report without any question. So you'd hear the nurse say, well, good luck today. I mean, this person's just a terrible patient and they're in a bad mood and throwing things and blah, blah, blah. And, or uncooperative or et cetera. And it was just a really hard night. And so what you would see is from the transactional perspective of this exchange, the oncoming nurse or nursing pair, student, et cetera, immediately receive that story, and that's apparently the truth of the moment. And so it's kind of like this micro feedback situation. Instead of maybe stepping into higher self, receiving that, extending compassion to the nurse who just had a really difficult experience for some reason, and opening curiosity about the behaviors, like stepping into the room to meet this person and create your own relationship with something of an informed blank slate. Something happened that was really rough for that individual or family, et cetera. And rather than just respond as though it's the only truth, are there other dimensions for me to explore? You know, like what is happening for that person from a compassion perspective that might illuminate me and help me be more present and actually help me uncover what is the underlying need. And so it were experiences like that really started helping me think about and view these interactions of feedback and information exchange from more open lenses.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Thanks for expanding on that. I think we touched on this a little bit, but I want to go back to it and dive into it a little bit more. We were talking about how the receiver of feedback can stay present and stay curious themselves instead of switching into a defensive mode, especially if someone delivering the feedback may not be fully coming from that space, from a curiosity perspective or from a we're learning together, this is going to be transformational perspective.
Right.
What are your thoughts on, because skill 16 came up for me when I was thinking about this in SQ, and skill 16 is seeking guidance from others, from experts, from your higher self, your inner wisdom, or maybe from a higher power, or seeking guidance from others. One of the questions in the SQ21 is, I internally question the guidance I receive from others to determine the right behavior or course of action to take. And you can rank yourself on, do I internally question the guidance I receive from others? And does that help me determine the right behavior or course of action to take? And I bring this up because we're still learning. We're still in this learning mode of how to give feedback properly. So if I'm on the receiving end, what are some ways that I can check in and seek guidance internally if that feels right?
Well, I think the curiosity piece, right, that you're highlighting, that is actually the skill. It's asking oneself the question, like, okay, so I'm receiving this. Let me pause. And let me look at this maybe holistically. So one, what in the feedback I am receiving is story or judgment? What is factual? What am I hearing versus what am I not hearing? You know, am I actually seeing and hearing everything being communicated to me? What's happening internally? How might that be questioning, you know, coloring what I'm hearing? Especially if I'm feeling my heart rate go up and my blood pressure go up and I'm panicking, et cetera. How can I calm down and center so I can be more fully present? What might be happening for the other person as well? Like if the feedback is coming to me in a way that feels emotionally charged from their perspective, is it possible for me to hold a space or create a space of compassion and curiosity between us, even if they're not able to do that in this moment? That takes a really high level of self sort of awareness and maybe even self-mastery. But I think that we can get there. It does begin with self-generosity and a willingness to realize that I might get this wrong. But let me try anyway. Let me try to be curious. Let me try to set aside what's happening. Just like you said earlier, for the leader to say, it's not about me. Sometimes as a recipient, we need to recognize, oh, something here is about me because we're having this conversation, but it might not be the delivery part, right? It might be something else is going on. Or I might just be a convenient person in a crosshairs at a moment. I don't really know. There's a lot of things happening here. But if we too, as recipients of feedback, can remind ourselves that all behavior is communication, including how the feedback is being given to us. And if it's communication that we're not quite understanding, then what it behooves us to do is to be curious about that, to say, you know, to be able to step in into the moment and say, well, thanks for opening up a conversation with me about this. It seems that there's a lot going on here. It seems that there's a specific thing going on, and I may or may not be clear about it. So if I may, I'd like to ask some questions. But it also seems like this is bringing up something for you, and it's also bringing up something for me. So maybe we can talk about both of those things and start a journey to parse them out a little bit. That's a very mature perspective to take when we're on the receiving end. And it might sound really pie in the sky and really difficult, but it really does come from that practice of self-awareness, right? This anti-Pema type work of, you know, deep internal journeys, books of hers, like The Places That Scare You. I mean, gosh, what a book title. Mm-hmm. But, you know, these are those moments, right? These are the moments where mm-hmm. we can actually make a choice to show up and choose to be fully present, not only tell the truth without blame or judgment, but receive the truth without blame or judgment, even if it's being presented to us that way. And it's amazing what can happen in our relationships. This is why this is actually transformational feedback work. This isn't basic work, right? This is, I've learned how to have a conversation with someone and say X, Y, and Z, but now I'm really focusing on the human to human aspect, paying attention to heart and meaning, right? Really getting to how can I be present for someone in that space? That's spiritual intelligence.
Yeah.
And, you know, as is telling the truth without blame or judgment, or receiving it without blame or judgment, and being open to outcome and not attached to it, not knowing where this conversation will lead. You know, when you started this last question, it was sort of about this seeking guidance from a higher self, you know, in a moment, and very high level approach to feedback for both, you know, leaders and recipients when we're in those moments, is to be able to have the humility to recognize I don't have the answer going into this, and I need your partnership to figure it out. For a leader to look and say, I have to say, I'm going to give you some feedback and I want to be here to support you, but I don't know where we might go today with it. I'm not sure what the needs are, and I'm not even sure if I have the answers to some of the questions you may ask. But I'm fully here with you about this, and let's go. You know, it's pretty, I think, evolved presence.
Yes. Love it. Gosh, this is so powerful, Aaron. I'm loving this conversation. And the call for the recipient to step into their power, really, in the situation. I mean, that's empowering, because usually when there's this that power dynamic of the leader offering feedback to an individual where they might be their supervisor, then I think that creates some sort of, you know, a victimization type mentality also. And the call for that individual to rise up and empower themselves in the situation, to bring presence, to bring curiosity, to tap into higher self. Does this sit right with me? Is there something else going on here that I can understand? What are the takeaways that I can maybe take or glean from that to make myself grow and learn, even though it might not have been delivered in the best way? That's a call for both sides. I just keep picturing, you know, this bridge and both one person on one side and the other person on the other, and they both meet in the middle. It's not the leader walks all the way over to the other side of the bridge. So thank you for expanding on that. And I think you've offered some really great, I'm just going to call them like talk tracks that people can sort of take and make their own and practice when they step into these moments. When you're someone that has not received feedback, we talk about feedback. There's all this data that Gen Z loves feedback. You have to give Gen Z all this feedback in the workplace. And all this data about how amazing it is for organizations when done correctly. What if somebody is listening right now, like, I don't even get any feedback. Should I ask for feedback?
Right. Yeah, I think I really appreciate that curiosity aspect of our Gen Z colleagues, you know, really wanting clarity. Like, that's courageous to step into a space and saying, help me see how I'm doing. You know, this, that's a space of setting aside self and in wanting to be a very pretty high level practitioner of self-reflection, which is the key to development, right? I mean, being a really self-reflective person, it is the way to change your linear growth and progress to exponential growth and progress. So I just embrace that. I think, you know, having that curiosity and being courageous enough to bring it forward. I just posted about that on LinkedIn recently, right? That from another podcast I was interviewed, asked about courage. What is it? Well, it's the ability to apply curiosity, you know, when you're faced with some sort of resistance. And, you know, soliciting that, you know, asking for it is pretty gutsy. So
I mean, I love it. I think they're calling us out on avoiding difficult us, meaning I'm a Gen Xer. Yes. So that's why I say they're calling us out. So I'm like, oh, let's do this. Yeah, I'm glad. And they want face-to-face conversation, video chat, text, but they don't, from the data I've seen, you know, there's not a lot of love for emails coming through that are offering those types of things. So I am so encouraged by it. And I have to bring this up. There's this joke on Instagram that I see all the time, you know, like the workplace humor. I love that stuff. And one of them is always joking about how your boss messages you saying, hey, can you hop on a quick call? A quick call? And then the anxiety that comes from getting this, you know, message, hey, can you hop on a quick call? Why don't we hop on a quick call? So I'm bringing that up to you because I want to hear what we can, you know, I want to continue this Gen Z conversation, but I also want to hear, is there a better way? Like if I'm reaching out to maybe one of my Gen Z team members, is there a better way I can approach having a conversation than something like that?
Well, I think if we can meet people in that space of curiosity, you know, it's a good starting place. Oh, so when someone's coming to us and soliciting feedback, tell me how I'm doing. I mean, my thought as a leader is always, I'd love to have this conversation with you. What brings you to ask? Tell me, you know, what's going on for you? What are you thinking about? What's coming up for you? Do you have some concerns, et cetera? You know, like what's the context of the conversation? Help me understand what your need is. And then kind of get into some deeper spaces with people. It's like, well, you know, I've been doing this, but I'm not really getting any feedback, or I don't feel like I've been told what I'm doing. And I, you know, obviously I want to do well here. So, tell me, you know, is everything going okay? We have been now in a multi-generation situation where communication about our work is by exception. It's been limited historically to when something's not working. And sadly, it's also been delayed because of the things we're talking about. A leader feels overwhelmed. They feel afraid. They're anxious. They don't want to give it. Then it's when it's incomplete or it's ambiguous. So if the only context for how am I doing with a person, regardless of their generation, who's more relational than transactional, then I need to think about feedback as an ongoing conversation about the work, you know, and really take opportunities to point out just as equally when the work is going well. This is different than this, you know, everybody participation trophy thing that is so, you know, inflammatory, these discussions about that generational aspect of communication in society. I don't even want to go into that. Mm-hmm. But to sit down with somebody regularly, connect as another human being, especially as a supervisor, and say, let's talk about the work and how it's going for you. Those two things you've parsed out right away, you're going to focus on their learning about the work they're doing, the skills they're applying, their knowledge, et cetera, what's working, what needs work for them, and also separating out who they are as a person, their journey with the work, wherein just by doing that, you start to parse out, you know, like these feelings of judgment and set those things aside. But to really set that out proactively, talk with people, get engaged with what's working for them, you know, in their work and how it's going, and then open up spaces for what's, you know, what needs work, what's not feeling as easy, what's feeling uncomfortable, where are you conflicted, or where do you feel like you're spending a lot of unnecessary time, you know, because maybe there's a knowledge gap or a skills gap, et cetera. And it's approaching that from a different perspective, right? It's really approaching that from a human-centered perspective rather than a transaction. And I think that's the key here. Right, is I think that what you pointed out in using our Gen Z colleagues as an example is the need to be relational. And many of us from different generations, a little bit farther ahead, we were socialized into a workplace that was transactional. And so we're being called to higher self as well. And I just don't see that there's anything but benefit to come from that.
I totally agree. Yeah, totally agree. I love it. Yeah, thank you. Well, Erin, thank you for showing up for all of the Create Magic It listeners today and really offering your insights. Erin, what would your offer invitation be to everyone listening based off this topic?
Well, I think anyone who's clicked on this because they're interested in the topic is probably my kind of people. Mm-hmm. So the invitations I would offer, of course, one, engage more deeply with your work, Amy, because I feel like the spiritual intelligence model is really, really transformative. That is a part of being able to be in a transformative relationship with someone else, to engage in transformational feedback is to begin a journey of self-transformation. So I think that's really positive. I take a very Adam Grant approach to the world. And so if people listening in are interested in connecting with me right now, I tend to do that pretty exclusively on LinkedIn, but you know, I have a website coming as well. It's currently in development, so people can maybe more outside of this, the public purview of LinkedIn, you know, reach out to me more directly. And then I also, this has just been a topic that has come up so many times across my career that I'm very close to launching a course literally called Transformational Feedback. It will be online. It will be a static course, you know, so people can do the learning at their own pace, et cetera. It won't be a live course, but I'm really going to take this and approach it the same way I would approach an undergraduate course in nursing communications and really be substantive and point out like the concepts that are needed, the questions people can be asking in terms of a self-reflective practice model, the kinds of what the skills really are, breaking those down for people and giving you ways to practice so that it does feel like you're moving yourself forward. I just see such a need for this. I mean, for me, this is quantum leadership, mm-hmm. Right? So that developmental aspect of spiritual intelligence you talk about, you know, the quantum leader, how can you take this skill set that you may have or this viewpoint of compassion and wisdom and try to multiply that out further? So for me, this is one of my altruistic efforts, is to try and bring that forward for folks. So I would say those will be some of the pieces that I'm offering for folks who want to go farther.
And thank you for creating that. Thank you for offering that. I can't wait to go through the course myself. So once that is live, we'll put that in the show notes so everyone can go back and click on that, and we'll update that because, you know, the Create Magic at Work episodes, people tend to go back and listen to them.
Yeah.
It's not just, these are sacred conversations, and we'll have that there. So thank you. Do you have this feeling that you were called to do something very special and important in the world? Do you consciously tune into something higher than yourself for guidance and inspiration? Have you had mystical or spiritual experiences that have provided guidance in your everyday life and work? If you answered yes to those three questions, then you are a fit for a Create Magic at Work coaching program. If you're looking to explore new frontiers in your personal and professional life, I invite you to consider stepping into one of my coaching programs. I specialize in helping people step outside of their comfort zone and embrace the unknown. Whether you're looking to launch a new business venture, navigate a major life transition, or simply push yourself to reach new heights, I can help you achieve your goals. Please schedule a complimentary consultation with me at createmagicatwork.net. Click on Work with Amy, and I can't wait to see you. Sending magic to you. I want to thank each and every one of you for coming back every week to listen to a new episode of Create Magic at Work and really helping to support and advocate for healthy leaders, workplaces, and lives for all of us. If you want any information on how to connect with me, click on the link in the show notes. You'll get access to all of the social media links for Create Magic at Work. Stay following along for more amazing episodes where we help you improve productivity and profitability in the workplace and decrease stress. Sending magic to everyone, and see you next time.